And we have, let's see, we have Ray on the phone. And our guest today is Kim. She's an advocate for victims of domestic violence and sexual abuse as it relates to the LDS Church. Our call-in numbers today, and all of them start with 512-716. Okay, the three numbers are 1603, 1883, and 1897. Remember, first six numbers, 512-716. Okay, Ray.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of fun. I've always suspected, Deanna. I haven't listened, you know, on and off wherever I'm at. I'll try to listen to, you know, whoever's on, and I come to you, and you have some good shows. But I've always suspected that you were an ex-Mormon, and I didn't know that you had actually come out. Somebody in the chat room posted your whole bio of stuff that you've done in there, and I just wanted to say right on.
Well, thank you. I was born into it.
Yeah, I was too. And it's an amazing propaganda machine, indoctrination machine. It's just so, it is so thorough from so young. You know, you're reciting your articles of faith. You're getting your little stickers for your board, and then it has already touched on. You know, you go up and you bury your testimony. Oh my hell! What a crock of garbage. You think back on it, and it makes you sick that you were, you know, you were part of this, that you did all these things, but we've come out of it. We're stronger for it, right?
Yes. You know, the testimony bearing, I believe, is part of the brainwashing, and there are certain leaders that have said, hey, if you don't believe it, go up and bear your testimony anyway, and it's really basically saying, lie until you get a testimony. Lie until you believe it yourself. You're lying to yourself.
Fake it till you make it kind of thing.
Ah, yes! Fake it till you make it. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, it's a very tough thing because you do have fears. People want to be, well, they don't want to be lied to, of course, but you want to be accepted. And I'm going to read several of the psychological characteristics of Mormons. We'll share that later on in the program. But so when did you, what really made you look at the religion? What impacted you the most? Was it the history? Was it the...
Bishop's interviews really bugged me.
Oh, gosh, talk about interrogations.
Oh, my hell, yeah, you know, do you masturbate? And I'm like, wait a minute, how can you even ask me? You sit across there with a straight face and you're asking me that? Even when I was 12 years old, I was like, this ain't right. And then I got a little older, and I guess this was one of the big things that I guess probably really bothered me more than anything is I ended up having relations with another girl in the ward. Well, the Mormon guilt got her, and she went and confessed to the bishop. And so the bishop started calling me and said, don't you have something to tell me? And I said, no. And he says, and I would hang up on him. I'm like, I'm not doing this. This is none of your business. He says, and he kept bugging me. And then he would call me when my parents forced me to go to church. And so he would call me in during church, and I'd have to go in there and sit down with him. And what he basically did was he says, well, if you don't come in and confess this to me, I'm going to tell your parents. And then so, because I was a hard case, he made me go down and scrub the church. I swear to you this happened. I scrubbed the toilet with a toothbrush and the drinking fountains because I was paying penance for not submitting.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that,
oh, my gosh.
That bugged me bad. And so that was probably the beginning of the end. I started really fighting my parents about, you know, I'm not going to church. And then they would make me, I lived in a town where there was seminary and in all our schools. And I was really rebelling about not wanting to go to seminary with my electives. And so.
Wow. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well,
yeah, I'm sorry too.
It got me where I am. I have no regrets about it. My regrets are is that I can't pull more of my people out. I can't get them to see that I can't.
I know. My older brother wrote a paper, a booklet, in 1987, and but it wasn't scholarly. It was just kind of scholarly. It wasn't scholarly, and so I didn't pay much attention. I got a divorce in 1988. That kind of, and I had been married in the temple, and that was probably the turning point.
When you were married in the temple, did they still, and when you were doing your endowments, did they still have the old ceremony where you cut your guts out and you cut your throat?
Yeah.
They've changed that now, I'm to understand.
Yeah, and supposedly things aren't supposed to change, but my gosh, you go in there, you don't know what you're going to promise, but what you, it's an open-ended deal. You promise your time, your talents, everything that you possess to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Who knew before you go in that you've got to give up your money, your time, your talents, and everything else? Nobody knows that.
And straight up Masonic, and that's that really alienated a lot of people too. But that you hit on that earlier. It is straight across Masonic ceremonies. That's the same ceremonies they used to have. How anyone, in fact, I was trying to get one of my really good friends. I was trying to show him how it's a Masonic ceremony, and I said, show me something different. So he sent me a book written by a Mormon apologist. I mean, two chapters into it, I'm like, oh my God, this is absurd.
Now,
this
which book was it? There's been two books written by Mormon apologists about Freemasonry.
Let's see if I can find it right here. I have it. I kept it. I don't know why.
But he
was trying to tell me that was the be-all and end-all.
Well, they have so many apologists to justify all of these behaviors. And, of course, one of the biggest ones, Hugh Nibley. Gosh, yep. I think I had all of Nibley's books. And then I discovered several years ago, I mean, he raped his daughter when she's between the ages of 5 and 8. And
yep, she wrote that book, right? Wasn't she the one that wrote the book, Coming Out of Mormonism or something?
Yes, Leaving the Saints, Martha Beck. I cried so many times reading that book.
The Abrahamic, he called them the Abrahamic sacrifices.
Oh, what a filthy, filthy pedophile. I'm just...
He was quite brilliant, unfortunately.
Well, when you think about the whole,
system,
it's so brilliant in how they've made it this patriarch thing where these women and girls are vulnerable to these men and we have nowhere to go. And so the brilliance of that, if you're coming from the pedophile side, is astonishing.
Well, Hugh Nibley himself was a brilliant person. He had a very, very high IQ. He spoke several different languages. But his mother abused him. He also had post-traumatic stress disorder from World War II. He was a mess. He was a psychological mess. And the church exploited his brilliance, and he worked at BYU, which pays their professors lower than the average pay scale. And after you work for BYU, none of the other universities want you because they think you're a nutcase, which, well, I mean, not certainly he was, but we can't say that. It's the same thing for other people, but... Also, when you work for BYU, you have to hold a current temple recommend. You have to be active in the church. And if you're not, well, you're out the door. Goodbye. See you later.
Yep.
Anyway.
And the name of that guy, the name of the book is called Mormons and Masons, or Exploring the Connection Between Mormons and Masons by Matthew Brown. And it's a straight-up bunk.
Yeah,
another thing about... it's funny, the key guy that came out of the architects and engineers for 911 Truth out of BYU, too. So they're a big part of the propaganda game as well.
Oh, yes. Old Stephen Jones.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, indeed. And, you know, he didn't get fired. He
got
promoted. He emeritus status. Anyway.
Yep, and also when he was being gone through that, it was all on paid administrative leave.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and the they're very pro-war. I wrote an article some time back about Cheney actually giving the commencement address at BYU, and I'm thinking, what is this crazy?
Did you see the handshake?
Pro-war. I was just livid. Just absolutely livid.
Yep. And the handshake sealed it, too, with Cheney shaking hands with which president was it, Monsoon?
Given the
Mormon handshake right there.
Yeah.
And so I sent that to some of my people, and I said, "Now wait a minute. How is it? Is Cheney a Mormon? How does he know the handshake?"
Yeah, it's amazing, huh? Wow. Well, thanks, Ray.
Absolutely. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. All right, let's take Kathy in Texas. Kathy.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Oh, it's so quiet. You know, Joseph Smith had married other men's wives while they were still alive. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yes, polyandry, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a scholarly paper that was written by Lance S. Owens. It was actually given credit. It was awarded, I don't know what the award was for, but it was given an award, and it's called Joseph Smith and Kabbalah, The Occult Connection.
Whoa. Could you post that in the, or maybe somebody will post that in the chat room. That sounds very intriguing.
I've never been in the chat room, so I don't know how to even access that.
Chatango.com, chatango.com, chatango.com. Or if you just repeat the name of the paper, somebody in the chat room will probably write it down. And then could you elaborate a little bit about polyandry?
Who, me?
Yeah. Or either, well, just that he married other people's wives.
I just had heard that there were women who he married, even though they were already married to other men.
Yes.
And just thought, you know, that's not something I don't think that is a commonly, it's not taught in the church.
Oh, absolutely. Now, are you Mormon?
No.
No,
I have friends, and I've been closely acquainted. as far as Cheney's wife, I'd heard that she was LDS.
Oh.
So I've just got on here. She's actually a descendant of Mormon pioneers.
Whoa! And,
She was raised Presbyterian, and then she became Methodist upon her marriage to Dick Cheney, according to Wikipedia. So I had heard that there was some kind of a Mormon connection there.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of things get changed. You change your religion, you know, they change corporations, they rename things so that they can hide the things that they don't want to be revealed.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking on to see if Cheney, what it says about Cheney, and there's a thing that came up here, 9/11 Scholars Forum, and it says Mormon Kingdom of Zion / Mormons in the Bush Administration / War with the American Domestic Terrorism. Anyway, and that was by James Fetzer. But
it's really interesting that that there is this. Well, they're both corporations. The Mormon Church is a corporation. The U.S. government is a corporation. So of course, the Mormon Church is going to be pro-war, and that was one of the things that really irked me, is their pro-war mentality. I just can't understand any church that claims to that professes to worship Christ being pro-war. It just doesn't jive with me.
I totally agree.
Yes.
Yep. So you heard about how they asked Cheney, I think that was just mentioned, actually, how he spoke at the commencement.
Yeah.
He was the commencement speaker for the graduation, and that was shortly after this whole 9/11 scandal where they, you know, Cheney and Bush wouldn't testify under oath. They wouldn't testify unless they were together.
Right.
It was quite revealing. And then they have Cheney speak at BYU. They had already scheduled somebody else and changed and had Cheney. I think they were trying to give him legitimacy or something. And anyway, there's just a lot to be said, but it's a very interesting program. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your phone call. This idea, Kim, about Joseph Smith marrying other men's wives is called polyandry. And we know that he had at least 34 documented wives, but he did marry other people's wives. In fact, he wanted to marry the wife of William Law. And William Law was... he was kind of a latecomer. I believe he arrived in Nauvoo in 1842, and he and his wife joined the church. And I mean, he was just a real stand-up guy. And Joseph Smith approached his wife and asked if she could be one of his wives, and that is what. And then William Law was one of the writers in the Expositor, the Nauvoo Expositor. And what the Expositor was attempting to do was to reveal all of these horrible things, the polyandry, all of these sexual escapades. And so quite illegally, Joseph Smith asked his Committee of 50, what is it? Yeah, I think it was a Committee of 50, to go in there and destroy the property, private property. And anyway, yeah, he would send people off on missions far away out of the country, and then as soon as they were gone, he would go to their wives and say, hey, I would like you to be my my wife, my plural wife, and...
making her feel better because she would be marrying him, of course, illegally, but whether it was for his conscience or hers, to make it seem like it wasn't so bad because now they're married. But it makes me nauseous to think of the horrible female exchanges that were going on with these men. It's almost, I can almost picture like these priesthood meetings where they're, well, I'll take your wife, and you let me have your wife, and we'll let Joseph Smith take ours. And
yeah, it's like wife swapping on steroids or something.
It's just horrible. It makes me just sick to my stomach to think of these poor girls. They were marrying so young, and these poor
Well,
these
the other
wives.
Thing too is that the tactics that he used in order to get these. Girls to marry him. These women.
Well, and that's where, yeah, I was saying that quote. The perpetrator, we use this quote often in my
All
line
right.
of work, the perpetrator becomes the most powerful person in the life of the victim, and the psychology of the victim is shaped by the actions and beliefs of the perpetrator. Does that not fit Joseph Smith perfectly?
Yes, absolutely. I have
go ahead.
On the schedule page, it's a it is evidence that Joseph Smith was a sexual predator. And when you go over this list, Joseph Smith told his victims that her family's salvation was dependent on giving into his wishes. Now, you could compare that to probably some victims that you've worked with.
Well, exactly. The brainwashing that goes on and the way that women that are caught in this situation are demeaned and so, I can't find the right words, but beaten down to the point where everything that is said to them by the perpetrator becomes the truth,
right.
Even if it's not.
All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes, and we'll take your calls.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, what kind of joking? No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest. Who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923. And like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contests and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Deanna, and if you want to shoot us an email, you can do that at comment@spingola.com. If you want to join the folks in the chat room, that's spingola.chatangle.com. Our guest today is Kim. She is an advocate for victims of domestic violence and sexual abuse, particularly as it pertains to the LDS Church. The website that I recommend for that subject is Mormon-Alliance.org. You may call into the program with comments or questions at 512-716. That's the first six numbers. And then let me give you three of the last four numbers. 1603, 1883, 1897. Remember the first six numbers, 512-716. Alrighty, let me share. We were going over this Joseph Smith, sexual predator. Number two, Joseph Smith told his victims to keep his actions secret from family and friends. Kim.
Of course he did. Well, who wants to be found out as a sexual pedophile and an abuser?
You're not going to tell your mom because,
no. Yeah,
number three.
That's what every abuse victim is told when there's sexual assault. They're threatened. They're told, don't tell anybody or I will ruin your reputation. I'll hurt your family. I'll put pictures out. You know, now it's the internet. I'll put pictures of it on the internet. I'll tell everybody.
And blame them.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly what was happening all those many years ago in a different form. We didn't have the social media, but of course, keep it a secret. Don't tell anybody.
Sure.
I am told, I know when they did tours of the temple that Warren Jeffs built, there were actually a room at the top where he had beds where he would bring these young girls in. And from what I understand, now I don't know because I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but from what I understand, that was built on the same ideas of what had been done in many of the early temples early on. And so there was a special room in the temple that was for Joseph Smith or these high priesthood holders to take these girls in the temple and tell them that it was part of what they were going to be getting their celestial kingdom for, and they would have eternal glory, and
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's awful.
Okay, let me share number three. Joseph told his victims that he would be killed if they didn't comply. Number four, Joseph Smith promised his victims salvation if they complied with his requests. Number five, Joseph's role, and this is important, Joseph's role as prophet of God gave him a position of trust and authority over his victims. Talk to us about that.
Well, I don't even know where to start with that, because it propagates the victimization so deeply that you feel, I think, as a female, I feel that way anyway, but I think it does it to men as well. It keeps all of us as members so beaten down and buried that we can't, we feel so, I can't even find my words because this is just stunning to me, but I think that it keeps us all oppressed, not just the women, but it keeps everybody under the thumb of these higher leaders. And especially like Joseph Smith did early on, where nobody dared make a move without his okay, and everything he said came from God. And so, of course, you're going to do what he says. He's made you believe this. And
sure.
Then we'll sit back and look at cults like Warren Jeffs and these other horrible cults, and we point fingers at them. How can these members have believed them? How could they have drank the Kool-Aid kind of thing? Well, guess what? Mormons are doing it every single day. Every single day.
You know, this position of trust. And when I think of position of trust, I think of teachers. I think of home teachers. And I think of elders. There have been missionaries who have been sent home from their missions because they have abused some child. In fact, I heard of one story where the missionary... Oh, okay, we've got a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and I'll pick up the story on this side.
Sounds great.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All right, we are back. We're back. If you'd like to call into the program, the first six numbers, 512-716. After those six numbers, you can call one of these three, 1603, 1883, 1897. I was telling a story. We were talking about Joseph Smith's role as prophet of God gave him a position of trust and authority over his victims. Now, in the Mormon Church, you have lots and lots and lots of positions of trust. You have bishops, you have home teachers, you have scout leaders, you have missionaries, you have stake presidents, you have a myriad of people in positions of trust.
And you know what? Every single person you've mentioned is a male. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yes. Anyway, this bishop or this missionary apparently sexually abused a child while he was on his mission in the home of an investigator. The church authorities found out about it, of course, and immediately sent him home, got him out of the country in order to avoid prosecution. Because if all this stuff gets out, that tithing money is going to dry up real fast. Let's take a call. Let's take Dee in Kentucky. Dee, welcome.
Hello there. I really appreciate the broadcast today. I have numerous Mormon friends that I wish could be hearing this. Of course, you know, Joseph Smith is their idol. I mean, he's like a god to all of them. I can't I can't understand where these people have become so brainwashed. But I want to ask you, isn't RBN owned by two Mormon men?
No. No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
Do you think I'd be doing this if it was? Nope.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that was one of the questions.
No, I might be a little dense in some things, but nope. Wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, you're not that dense. Okay. how in the world do you break news like this to these Mormons? I mean, they refuse to hear anything other than what they have been taught from day one. And, if you bring any topics like this up, they give excuses. Oh, well, that would never happen, you know, where we go to church or wherever, however they say it, I can't remember. But, I mean, they will not hear it.
Well, I think you can only give somebody something that they're willing to accept. And most Mormons, as we've already said, are completely brainwashed. And there has to be some one thing. I mean, there were several things that got to me that I began to question. The first, of course, was the temple ceremony. But you can't force somebody that is brainwashed to recognize that they've been brainwashed, because the LDS Church is a cult, and they have been protected, and you're never going to get anybody who is a member of a cult to admit, yes, I belong to a cult. That's part of the behavior, is that they resist outside information because they've been trained, as Joseph Smith said. I teach them correct principles and they govern themselves. The church doesn't have to worry too much about people listening to outside sources or objective programs like today, is because they've been taught to avoid such things, because that's just the way it is. But
yeah, we're told that it brings in the devil, and so we're not supposed to read or listen to music or read books or read things on the internet that are anything that doesn't come from the church, about the church.
Exactly.
Of course, they don't want us to, because then we'll find out the truth. But those of us who have questions, like we should be questioning things and start to research, then we find the truth. And I think
in defense or whatever, most of the Christian churches are the same way.
Not as bad, I don't think. There's no Christian church that levies a tax against its members, a 10% tax against your gross income. There's no church that correlates its education system the way that the Mormons do. I think Jehovah's Witnesses come very close to it, but typically there's brainwashing in a lot of organizations, but not nearly as much as there is in the LDS Church. Because it started out that way as a cult. It's gotten stronger. It's gotten its claws into the Mormon corridor, which is Arizona, Utah, Idaho, and it's very strong. And they also have a lot of political power. So it's very pervasive.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much, Dee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So this position of trust, we talked about bishops, we talked about branch presidents. Have you ever had a case in the 20 years that you've worked with victims who have been actually sexually abused by their bishop or by a home teacher or somebody in a position of trust?
Yes. I'm going to walk really careful here because I don't want to disclose who this might, I want to keep my victim
sure.
safe. But yes, I did. On more than one occasion. Once was a bishop. Once was a home teacher. And the home teacher would come to the home under the guise of doing home, you know, home teacher help. Let me help you with this. Let me help you with that.
Yeah, let me paint your house. Let me mow your lawn, that kind of thing.
Those sorts of things, and come in to help. And would come there when her husband was not around. And it progressed from there. When she did try to tell somebody about that, she was called out for being for not being faithful to her husband.
Okay, so this was a woman. It wasn't a child. And it can happen where an older man in the church, whether it's a home teacher, can actually target a younger sister and go after that sister. I know of a case where that occurred, and the sister felt terrible about it, went in and talked to the bishop, cried her heart out, and nothing happened to the man. I don't even think they called him in.
Now, I know of stories like that, too, where it was children, which is heartbreaking because they don't feel like they can go to anybody. They can't go to their mom. They can't go to their dad because the dad's the abuser, who's also a member of the bishopric. And so they can't go to a bishop. And this goes on and on and on. And if they do finally go to a bishop, that is kept so under wraps. They don't encourage anybody to go for outside help. You can't go to the authorities. You can't go to a counselor outside. Like I said, many times the bishop wants to know what you're saying to the counselor. When you go in, a lot of times I know as a young girl, being like Ray was talking about when he'd go in for his bishop interviews, being asked as a very young girl if I did things to myself and asking for details. This was a very perverted man asking me for details about things that, and I was so young, I didn't understand what was going on, but it made me so uncomfortable. I hated going into the bishop's office because I knew those kinds of questions were going to come. Whether they did or not, I just knew they were.
That's an interesting concept that I don't think a lot of people understand, is that teenagers, people, boys and girls over the age of 12, have an annual interview or a semi-annual interview with the bishop, where the bishop literally interrogates them to see if they're worthy, if they're worthy. And they introduce and ask questions that sometimes the child doesn't even know what they're talking about. It's bizarre. I mean, this is an interrogation that is so inappropriate. They have no right to do it. They have no business doing it.
They have no right to do it. And then, you know, it gets deeper and it gets more disgusting. If a girl comes in, I had a young girl, middle school age girl, go to her bishop to report that a boy had done some things to her, and he asked her, how her body responded. Well, of course, our bodies are sexual, so whether you want it or not, your body's going to respond to a sexual touch or anything. It's going to do that. And so he made her feel, because her body responded, that she liked it, she wanted it, and therefore
she was
it
guilty.
Wasn't... Yes.
Yes, she was not a victim. She was a participant.
She was guilty.
Wow. All righty, we have another caller. Let's take Lark in Texas. Lark?
Well, hi there. Forgive me for diverging just a bit away from this very interesting line of discussion. But for whatever it's worth, when I began my studies of communitarian law a few years ago, fortuitously or not, I stumbled upon the J. Reuben Clark Law School at Brigham Young University.
Right.
And their law review. And, I mean, I devoured that stuff. I mean, they have an archive online. Mm-hmm. Again, it's the Brigham Young University Law Review.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, I mean, this archive goes all the way back to the 70s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it was right about the time of the early 90s that we began to see that it was actively being promoted at BYU's law school.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're teaching communitarian law in the law schools today across America.
Okay.
Now, the reason this is important is because you've heard of the, you know, if you're going to have a system of one world governance or resource, asset, and territorial management, according to these people, you have to have a one world religion.
Right.
Now, this ties into the interfaith dialogues. And what's occurring, I mean, Rick Adams was discussing this conference this month.
Uh-huh.
that's coming up. But another connection that you might find interesting is the Mormon Church in particular is very important, very integral to the melding together of the world's religions. And they play an important role in this interfaith dialogue across the planet today.
Right.
Now, here's just a couple of things, because I don't want to stay on very long. If you and your listeners will do a search, first of all, for the Brigham Young University Law Review, there's a free online archive, and particularly focus on those years of 1991, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And the other thing, then, of course, come to contemporary time and look at the law reviews, those journals that are current, and it becomes quite evident. The other names that are important to note is a gentleman who's recently deceased, I think in 2012. He was a noted Soviet legal expert, and he was a law professor at Harvard for 40 years, and then 20 years more at Emory University in Atlanta. And his name is Harold Berman. So if the listeners are interested in this topic, they can do a search for Harold Berman. He, of course, has several encyclopedic entries, but there's some recordings of his voice. But he said that there was no separation between religion, philosophy, law, and economics. And then finally, I'll leave you with this. There's something that's called the Constitution in 2020. And you can actually find the so-called expert series, - the Constitution in 2020. That's a big communitarian target date. Soviet socialist style.
Right.
Or communist Chinese style. And because, you know, they plan 5, 10, 20 years in advance.
Sure.
And they hold these conferences around the world, and they figure out how they're going to do it, and they form their community organizations, so-called, and everything else. But it was co-edited by Reva Siegel and Jack Balkin, two Jewish law professors from Yale. And so what you're talking about vis-a-vis the Mormon faith, if you will, is quite apropos and quite interesting to me because, of course, that's where I began my studies of communitarian law a few years ago.
Wow.
But for anybody else that's interested in these things, in particular, focus on this thing called the Constitution in 2020. You can find it on YouTube, Expert Series - the Constitution in 2020, and then you can you can find a Wiktionary page called The Constitution in 2020 by Trevor Loudon, I believe, an Aussie. And I believe you can even read it. Cass Sunstein is a contributor.
Interesting.
But, yeah, believe it or not, Paul Drockton brought a lot of this together for me, too, and also Atruot.
Right.
And their experiences. But anyway, thanks so much for the show and for your guest.
Well, thank you, Lark.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, that's interesting. You know, I saw a movie not too long ago, rented it, called Spotlight, and it was a very good movie. You will never, ever, ever see Hollywood make a movie about the Mormon Church and sexual abuse, even though it's probably as prevalent in the Mormon Church as it is in the Catholic Church, which is what Spotlight was about. So anyway, we're coming up on a three-minute break, and then we'll get back to this this list and our conversation. Be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. If you'd like to call into the program, first six numbers there are 512-716, and you can call one of these three numbers, 1603, 1883, 1897. We do have a caller, Jim in Kansas. Jim?
Is there a disproportional number of Mormons with Scandinavian last names?
There were a lot of missionaries sent to Denmark and Sweden, although Sweden really have become very astute, and missionaries aren't so welcome there. In fact, I just read a book by a person who went to Sweden on a mission, and he told about some of the disastrous things that the mission that the leaders over there, the mission president, was doing. And my gosh, it's terrible. But anyway, my ancestors, my Mormon ancestors, came from Denmark and from England. So, which England was also heavily proselytized.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Kim, did you have something to add?
Well, earlier we were talking about missionaries, and reminded me of a story that, I don't know, someone I know went on a foreign mission, and while there confessed something to her mission president.
Oh, yes.
And then was sent home for 6 months because of this confession that she made about something she had done with her boyfriend. And her boyfriend at that time was also on a mission.
Did they meet on the mission?
No, they met before the mission.
That's interesting. They would be in the same place.
Yeah, they were in different places on their mission, but they were both on missions. And she went to her mission president and told...
Oh, I see. They did it before.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so she felt bad, felt guilty, went to her mission president, confessed. He sent her home for 6 months. The boy didn't have to come home. Nothing happened to him at all while he was on his mission because of this. And as we heard earlier from Ray, she was she had to give the name of who this person was. And it's a small town. Everybody knew anyway, the bishop included. So she had to disclose the name of who this boyfriend was. And he stayed on his mission, and she had to wait 6 months before she could go back.
Wow. Wow, talk about bias. Talk about sexist.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Terrible. Let's get back to Joseph Smith's pedophilia. And let's see. Joseph Smith married sisters living in the same house and did not allow them to tell each other. Number seven. This is really... really interesting. Number seven, Joseph Smith told women to pray about his advances while at the same time telling them, as their prophet, the answer to expect. How's that? Pray about it, but here's what God is going to tell you. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.